So that's what I mean. Underneath opposition, there is love. Underneath duality, there's unity. That Tweedledum and Tweedledee agreed to have a battle. So, if you see that, if you get that principle, you can feel yourself not sort of just rattling around in the world as a kind of, somebody who's been stuck down there. But you can feel yourself going on in absolutely exact relationship with everything around you. And this is very beautiful. It isn't just that you are here looking at what's out there, like you might be photographing it with your eyes. It's that if that there wasn't there, you wouldn't be here. The outside thing that you see and the inside thing that you are poles of the same magnet. Or back and front of the same coin, and without one, there isn't the other.
Exactly. Yes. It's not like they decided, like, well, Pluto's not a planet anymore. Let's blow it up. To celebrate this momentous occasion.
Are you getting choked up?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you sound like me when I was talking about the Little Mermaid just then. I was like, is this how deep of a story is?
No.
The oceans, man.
By the way, if you are
a replicant? Replicants, we love you too.
You're on the same team.
Yeah, synthetic life is still life, brother. You know, whatever we say, take or leave whatever we say, but we're hoping that whatever you do take with you, that it helps you and it's beneficial. It is like he's a brilliant detective and he can solve these things. So
that's cool.
That's my favorite thing about Adrian Monk. Yeah.
And now let's go into our podcast.
Yeah, we are. You guys are listening to Same Team, y'all. My name's Eric.
And my name is Tess.
And what's the deal with this podcast, Miss Tess?
The deal with this podcast is that Eric and I are two best buddies. And we're also librarians, and we started this podcast because we just wanted to bring a little peace and positivity into the world, and we do that by talking about stuff that we love, mm-hmm. and telling uplifting stories from our library, and sharing life lessons that we've learned along the way.
Yeah, you've got it. If we were just recently at a comic book convention called Lexicon at our local library, if we have any new listeners because of that, welcome.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, new listeners.
You guys are looking great. We remember each and every one of you that we met there.
Definitely.
And we're glad
for sure
that you came back. Those of you that we met and decided not to listen, you don't know I'm saying this, but we love you anyway. How do you like Lexicon?
I thought it was really great. Yeah. I had a fun time.
I thought it went really well, too. It was really nice. It was
Let's
our first
do highlights of the day.
Yeah. How about we just do two each. What are your two top moments of Lexicon?
Okay.
Here, well, I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I'll go, and then you go, and I go.
Okay, sounds good.
I really liked doing my Skype interview with Miss Sophie Campbell.
Man.
Sophie Campbell is a contributing illustrator for Gem and the Holograms, the comic series, and Ninja Turtles, TMNT, I believe is what it's officially called.
Yeah.
And she's also written and illustrated a graphic novel called Shadow Eyes. And it was a Skype interview, so I was really scared because of the technology involved.
Right.
But it went well. I was able to Skype with her. She gave a great interview. She was very cool. And it went amazing. I was super excited. And it was the thing I was most nervous about because
yeah.
of Skype decided to do all the updates, like, as I was trying to call her, and I still don't know how I got through with her. I somehow, like, hacked the matrix and became one with the internet, and it worked, so it went pretty well.
I'm so glad it did, because I got to sit in for a little bit on your interview, and it was fantastic. I told you this already, but I'll say it on the cast. I felt like you and Sophie Campbell are, like, BFFs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Your interview with her was just very conversational, and it was just like you guys were two girlfriends, like, just chatting on Skype together.
I'm glad you said that. I felt like we were just two old girlfriends chatting. It was really nice, and I'll tell you right now, I don't want to, like, give up high hopes. I'm hoping to continue this friendship.
I also loved that she was talking about her book Shadow Eyes, and you were saying how you wanted to know the answer to the mystery.
Yeah.
I don't spoil it for those who want to read Shadow Eyes. And she said, oh, yeah, I'm not going to tell you.
She said, I'm never going to tell you that.
And she compared herself or that aspect of her storytelling to David Lynch, mm-hmm. who I'm a David Lynch fan from Twin Peaks. Which, by the way, if you want, you can listen to our other podcast, Same Peaks, Y'all, where we watch Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was so cool. I like that she was just, like, owning it. She's like, no, I'm being mysterious on purpose.
She's a really cool person.
She was really cool.
What's one of your highlights, Miss?
One of my highlights is definitely meeting the dudes from Rather Be Playing podcast.
Yeah.
And sitting on a podcast panel with Steve-O and Elliot from Rather Be Playing. It was so cool to meet them. And FYI, so cool to meet their girlfriends. Well, Amy's wife of Elliot and Nisha, Steve-O's girlfriend, they were so cool.
I do have to say, so it was nice getting to talk with them in real life, right? In person. I do have
IRL.
To say. In IRL. I do have to say, though, Amanda, my wife, was there helping out, and she had Freya, our daughter, like, on her chest for most of the time. And she did, guys, if you're listening, warning, or maybe not warning, but just a heads up, my wife did say that when your significant others saw Freya, she said she saw major baby eyes in their eyes. So might want to start baby-proofing that house, guys. And then you're going to enter Rather Be Playing the hard level, where you realize that once you have a baby, you really will be playing games at, like, from 12:30 to 1:30 and then going to sleep. So,
on the toilet.
On the toilet. Yeah, that, it was a great highlight.
What's another one of your highlights?
My second one is just hanging out with your husband Brett. Here's the deal. Brett is the producer of this cast.
Yes,
right? He now edits it, and he does a phenomenal job, and I love him for it, but I don't get to hang out with him too often.
Yeah.
And it was a really nice surprise seeing him come by, and he did a great job manning the desk. He did a great job hyping the cast. He really made me laugh. And you think is Brett a hugger?
Brett might hug you.
Brett's a big guy. I bet he would give an amazing
Brett
hug.
Brett gives really amazing hugs. Yeah, I can vouch for his hugs. I don't know how free he is giving the hugs to others.
I have to earn it. Like, I have to climb to the top of a mountain and, like, slay the great dragon of Umanthara, and then he will hug me. But it would be like, but anyway, it was, hanging out with your husband, Brett. And I would say also just hanging out with people in general.
Yeah.
It was fun seeing
a lot.
We
had lots of cool people helping us out with Lexicon. Yeah. And they all really liked Brett, which made me really happy. I always feel validated when, like, other people love my husband because he's so great.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude. Yeah.
I was going to say my other highlight would be the cosplay contest. Mm. I thought it went really well, and I got to be on the judging panel with my very vivacious neighbor, Miss Cheryl. She was a hoot and a half. And the always professional Bill Stay from Charles County Library.
Yeah, that
was really
very nice of both of them to help us out. And I only got to talk to Cheryl for a little bit, and she seemed really cool.
She's awesome. Yeah, so we had a really great day.
Yeah, if anyone is listening from Lexicon, thanks so much for joining us. But I think it was a successful event. I really dug it. Yeah. Should we just roll right into things we love?
Let's do it.
This is the stuff that we love.
We love!
Love it so much. This is the stuff that we love so much.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to start us off by telling you. Okay. So in our last episode.
Tell me it's the Ruby Tuesday salad bar.
I've yet to try the RT Garden Bar. But
55 delicious ingredients.
Last episode, I talked about my love for Daisy and Donald Duck.
Yeah.
All right.
A little bit. You talked about
update,
it a little bit.
A little bit. Just an update. DuckTales has been rebooted. Woo! That's right. The TV show from the... from the 1900s.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember? And when we were in our podcast panel the other day, there was a little guy there. It was a young man. A young man, if you're listening. Yeah. Hi. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and Mom, thanks for introducing him to this cast. His mom. She asked if we had any cussing. This is a cuss-free zone, yes, so welcome.
He particularly mentioned some bit of technology that existed in the 1900s. And it was like... it was something like somewhat modern, and I felt really old to realize, like, yeah, that was the 1900s.
What was it? I don't remember what it was. Now. Yeah,
but yeah. So DuckTales was a TV show when you and I were young. Mm-hmm. Well, they've rebooted it for the new generation, and it is delightful. Oh. It's really good. Uncle Scrooge is voiced by David Tennant, who you may know from Doctor Who. Or Broadchurch, or, oh, he was the villain on Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that's where I know him from. Yeah.
Very cool. He's a really excellent actor, and he's got a really great Scottish accent. And he doesn't get to use his Scottish accent very often, and he gets to be Scottish as as Uncle Scrooge.
Cool.
And I think it's like a cool take on DuckTales. It's sort of updated a little. Like, Donald is like the Louis C.K. of ducks. Like, he is like a single dad. He's just trying to like make things work. And
that's great.
And everything goes wrong for him. And Huey, Dewey, and Louie are really fun. They've got very kind of distinct personalities they gave them. And there's a little girl character, Webigail, who I think she was in the original one, but she wasn't like a big character, and in this one she's sorry, I'm just talking about DuckTales. I just really like it. It's cute. Also I just wanted to mention one thing. Last fortnight we were talking about Daisy and Donald are not married.
Yeah.
And that blew some people's minds. Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse are married, if that makes you feel any better. Although it doesn't make me feel any better because
okay, whoa.
Because there are cartoons where they're not married.
Yeah.
And Walt Disney himself explained this by saying, in real life, Mickey and Minnie are married. Which means that there's some sort of pocket universe where Mickey and Minnie are actors. And they play themselves in various stages of courtship.
My God.
I know! It's like Inception.
How deep does it go? This is the next Dan Brown novel. Is this what Origin is about? His new book?
Speaking of Inception, Google Inception DuckTales.
Uh-oh.
Because apparently Inception was inspired by an Uncle Scrooge comic.
Oh, that's kind of a cool
idea. I'm not even joking. Google it. DuckTales. That's really cool.
I haven't had a chance to watch the new DuckTales yet.
It's good.
I've been kind of busy, but I've watched a few clips online, and the animation's really pretty.
Yes.
I just want to say, like, real quick, like, I think it's easy. Like, whenever something is, like, remade, like, something you remember mm-hmm. from your childhood,
yeah.
and now, and be like, it's really easy, because I've already talked to a few people and looked in the... I accidentally looked in the comment section.
No, never look there.
I know, and I think it's very easy to be like, this looks different from what I remember when I was a kid.
So it sucks.
So I hate it, yeah. right? But remember, please, that now children will be experiencing this for the first time. So this will be their version of what you love, you know? And right. I think that's really cool. And even though, don't get me wrong, I probably prefer like what I remember seeing when I was a kid, like as mm-hmm. far as the style.
Yeah.
But I think the new animation is very cool. And I think it's cool that how they updated it,
yeah.
you know? It looks neat. And I'm excited it is back. I need to try to check it out, maybe.
Yeah. Also, if they've rebooted or remade something and you don't like that, it doesn't make the original disappear from existence.
That's a great point. Like, I had...
you can still enjoy the original. It's fine.
Yeah, I think there's a friend once who's... I think people often... I hear people say something like, this movie ruined the other movie.
Yeah.
Like, too bad they made that sequel because it ruined that first one. But that first one still exists.
Yeah.
Right? It's not gone. So, yeah, that's okay. I also... I know you're not a gamer, Tess, but the DuckTales game for the NES, for the Nintendo Entertainment System, is very much beloved. Like, people love it very much. Yeah. And they did, I think a few years ago, they did a HD remaster, where it's essentially the same game, but it has, like, fancy new graphics. Like, it's just beautiful. Oh, okay. Like, it looks more like the cartoon. And anyway, they unveiled it by doing a DuckTales sing-along. Nice. Like, that's how they did the revealing of the remake. Yeah, so I thought you would enjoy that. But, yeah, the DuckTales game is a very much beloved classic game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've also, just to add tangentially onto my love of DuckTales, my dog wakes me up very early in the morning.
Rosie.
Yes, my dog Rosie, who I love, but she's a senior citizen and she has to relieve herself frequently. And she wakes me up very early in the morning, around like 4 or 5 in the morning, and it's very dark outside. And I don't know why, but I've developed like this fear of like the dark and something looming out there, particularly a clown. I think it's because of the It movie.
Did you watch the new It movie?
I haven't even seen it, but apparently the trailer was enough to give me like a newfound fear of clowns. And I don't know why I think there's a clown in my neighborhood at 5 a.m., but... Yeah, it's just kind of creepy walking around in the dark with my dog, and it's just me and my neighborhood.
That's probably creepy, yeah.
And so what I started doing is I get out my phone and I just play the DuckTales theme song.
Does it make you feel better?
It makes me feel better.
You know, when I was a kid, I was really afraid of It, like the original one.
Okay.
Until I realized that it's, No, now I'm blanking on the name. Tim Curry, that is the original. Pennyworth, I think.
Pennywise.
Pennywise. And so once I realized that, I just pictured Pennywise dressed in drag. And then it became less scary.
His Frankenfurter costume.
Yeah. And
maybe I'll try that.
Yeah, just do that, you know? So,
What are you loving this night?
Well, we mentioned that we got to hang out with Rather Be Playing guys.
Yes.
Steve-O and Elliot over at the Rather Be Playing podcast.
We should mention there are 3 Rather Be Playing guys.
There is.
But one of them could not make it because he lives on the other side of the ocean, and that one is Josh. So hi, Josh. We're sorry we missed you.
Yeah, he's hanging out. He's over there. But I did get to, I actually got to, they invited me to record an episode with them, so which was very nice. That was actually the
crossover
first
episode.
Yeah, that was the first time I got to talk to Elliot and Steve-O, and it was a lot of fun. It was, I felt like I don't want to speak for them, but I felt like maybe we can use the word bromance a little bit. I don't know if it's too early for that. I can picture Josh rolling his eyes right now. But no, it went really well. Once again, their podcast is called Rather Be Playing. It's about 3 guys that would rather be playing games instead of going to their jobs, which sounds good. And they're actually, it's a great podcast. And I think their website is called ratherbecast.com. And
you are on episode 11.
Episode 11 of their cast. They invite me on and we talk about a myriad of topics, but it was the first time I got to talk with them, and it was a lot of fun. It was great. So that's something I'm loving. I guess making new friends.
Nice. I liked hanging out with them. They were really cool. And like I said, they're girlfriends. I feel like I may have talked their ears off, the girls, because at one point they asked me something about comic books. Like, what comic books do you suggest? And comic books is like one of my areas of passion, so all of a sudden I was like, oh, you gotta read this one. Oh, I gotta read that one.
If someone walked up and then asked, if she also asked, like, do you know any beers I should try? Like, your brain would explode. And I'm like, okay.
I gave one of them my number and I was like, text me your address and I'll mail them to you. Oh my God.
That's awesome. They were very cool too.
They were so cool. Mm-hmm. The other thing, there's 2 more things that I've been loving, but they're sort of related.
Okay.
So I'm tying them together.
So they're brothers and sisters.
Yeah. I read a really cool book this fortnight. It's called The Pluto Files, and it's by Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, the patron scientist of our cast.
Patron scientist of the cast. That's exactly right.
We love Dr. Tyson. And the book is about Pluto, the planet, and how it was demoted to a dwarf planet, and Dr. Tyson's unique role in that debacle, because it was sort of his idea. When he was designing with his team of scientists the new Hayden Planetarium, well, it's not new now, but when it was new, the new Hayden Planetarium at the American History Museum in New York, I think it is, they decided to not include Pluto in their planet exhibit. Because when they really thought about it, Pluto isn't very planet-like. It wasn't like all of the other planets, so it didn't belong. And then somebody caught wind of that, and it became this huge thing until finally the International Astronomers Union had to weigh in on it, and they had to define what a planet is. And once they did that, they realized Pluto doesn't qualify. So Pluto was demoted to...
So amazing.
Was demoted to a dwarf planet, which to me, okay, whatever... Right?
It but, still exists.
Yeah.
It's not all, like, all it is like we're changing the name that we're giving it. You
exactly.
Know?
Yeah. It's not like they decided like, well, Pluto's not a planet anymore. Let's blow it up.
Also, I kind of one thing I did like about that whole like it blowing up into like the...
Well, because that's the thing. It became this media sensation and everyone suddenly had an opinion on Pluto and how, and a lot of people were angry that they would demote it. And I was just so fascinated by this just because, like, I just feel like it's so exciting when they make, when science becomes sophisticated enough that we make new discoveries and that we redefine things. And a lot of why Pluto was demoted is we found a lot of objects that are similar to Pluto in our solar system. Are those planets too? Yeah. Like, are we going to have hundreds of planets?
Well, what it is, we learned something new. And we use the stuff we learn to reevaluate what we know, right? That's kind of how science works.
Which, you
know?
I think is so cool. But a lot of people did not think it was cool. And they wrote nasty letters to Dr. Tyson. And he chronicles all of it in this book.
That
and
actually sounds great.
It's so good. It's really, really excellent. And then the other thing that's sort of related to that that I experienced this fortnight is the film Hidden Figures. Have you seen this movie?
I haven't. I've wanted to for a while, though.
I recommend it thoroughly. It was so good. It's been out for a while it came out in the theaters quite a while ago, and I finally am catching it, and it was so good. I was so into this movie that I forgot to eat dinner, and then I got a stomachache.
What was going to be your dinner?
It was, so Brett and I, we normally eat dinner together, but every once in a while we got other stuff going on and we'll say, fend for yourself. We'll have a fend for yourself night. Cool. And so it was a fend for yourself night. So I didn't know what I was going to eat, probably like a hot dog or a bagel or something.
Okay.
But then I got so into this movie I was watching. Hidden Figures is a movie about three African-American women who worked on the very early days of the space program. And their contributions to, the space program have been kind of, I don't know, not, I mean, they're called the Hidden Figures because it's not like something a lot of people know about the space program is that African-American women helped it, you know, become what it was.
Their accomplishments. Yeah,
there's one woman who became the first, black female engineer. At NASA, there was a woman who she taught herself to program the first computer at NASA, which was this enormous, like,
that's amazing.
It was the IBM that filled like an entire like room in their building, but no one knew how to program it. This woman taught herself how to program it, and she became indispensable to NASA. And then there's this other woman, Katherine Johnson, who is a mathematician who helped figure out John Glenn's trajectory around the world when he went into orbit. So. Just totally fascinating, amazing movie, really great performances. I cried a bunch of times.
Oh, wow.
It'll make you mad because it's also about, you know, what African-American people had to deal with in that time period. And also what women had to deal with, what they were expected to do versus, oh, man, there's this scene in the movie where she has to go to the bathroom, as human beings have to do.
Yeah.
But there's no, quote, colored bathrooms in the building that she's working in. So she has to run over to, like, another building. So every time she has to go to the bathroom, it takes her, like, 40 minutes. And she's getting some flack from her boss for it. And she just goes off. And it's amazing. It was such a great movie. Jim Parsons is in it. He plays a real jerk face guy. I think Kevin Costner's in it. Man, it was just a really great movie.
I know. I enjoyed it a lot. I read some reviews that said it was really good, and I had some friends who told me that it was really good. I should probably check it out. I haven't had a chance to.
You should. You know? I wanted to. I was tempted to cosplay as... It's one of the women from the movie. I was like, I just want to be Katherine Johnson now. Like,
maybe you, I, and Brett next Lexicon could be the three women.
We should do it.
That'd be amazing, right? That sounds great. I haven't had a chance to see that movie. I imagine there are parts that probably make me, like, furious.
Yeah. Right? It's so good. It's but it's also kind of about the emotional lives of the women too, and like stuff that was going on with their, you know, relationships with their husbands and children, and it's just such a really excellent movie. I liked it a lot.
Cool. Those were like brother sister things you loved, right?
I like space. I like to think about space. Well, so
I think the good news too about the whole Pluto thing is, I guess it brought like interest to a bunch of people.
Definitely,
right? I guess
that's
a good thing. Anytime you can bring sciencey stuff to kind of a mainstream.
To the mainstream, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. Even if people are mad, and I know you've said this before in the cast, but if you're angry, take 1 second to think about what you're angry about, you know? Pluto doesn't know it's not a planet. It's okay, you know? So
that's true.
I got just a really small thing I'm loving. Well, actually, it's kind of tied into what we're drinking right now. I found out that Sophie Campbell loves capital T's. Am
nice.
I telling you this?
Give me a cheers to Sophie Campbell. Yeah.
I realize we forgot to mention our tea. Have you any guess what tea you're drinking right now? So I will tell you that I took a sample pack and I divided it between our two mugs. So it's a lesser version of the original.
I'm not sure. What are we drinking?
This is a return of the old Chesapeake Sunrise.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Our fave.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, just a quick thing that I'm loving is that when I was talking to Sophie, not during the interview, but when we did a practice Skype session, I was talking about teas and my favorite capital T's Cream Earl Grey. She was like, yeah, I've got that. She was drinking like some Lady Grey at the same time, which is kind of like the same idea, like kind of a more mild Earl Grey tea blend. And I just thought it was really cool to think this person I never really talked to and we both enjoy the same tea, and it was a fun experience for all. So
basically you and Sophie Campbell are like separated at birth.
Here's the deal. I'm really nervous about coming across as being, like, too excited.
Yeah.
Like, who knows? She might just, like, never speak to me again, right? Right? But she was really cool, and I don't know how busy she is or what kind of stuff she has going on.
You'll always have Lexicon.
I'll always have Lexicon.
Hey, Eric, do you have any tales?
From
the
library.
Tales from the library, tales from the library. Read some books, read some books.
We also have online resources.
Do you have any tales?
I do. I have one really short one.
Okay.
I was thinking of talking about Lexicon, but we've talked about that already.
We sure did.
Do you have a longer one, or do you have multiples?
I've got a short one and a long one.
Here, go with your long one and then we'll end with two short ones, because I got a short one.
All right. So, we were talking a couple episodes ago about some books that we were both reading for conferences that we were going to.
That's right.
Well, my conference came up, so I went to the BEST conference to talk about children's literature.
And what's BEST stand for? In case
it stands for the Black-Eyed Susan Tapestry. Black-Eyed Susan is an award that they give to children's books in the state of Maryland, which is where we live. And I attended that conference, and I talked to a lot of people about children's books. And, you know, when you go to something and you've got a lot of opinionated people and you're discussing books, you know, things could get heated.
Yes.
But they don't have to.
Yeah.
I like discussion and debate and, hearing new ideas and sharing my ideas. And so I was kind of looking forward to this conference, and I had a good time mostly, but there were a few times where I was kind of stuck in conversations with people and they were like, but no, what I have to say.
My opinion.
And then I would say, yeah, but what I have to say. And they were like, but no, what I have to say. And I just thought it was an interesting experience for me. And then at one point, a person who I had disagreed with in a book discussion approached me post-book discussion. And she said, she gave me a compliment about how well I disagree with people and how how I'm just really nice about the fact that I don't agree with them. And I just thought that was really like a weird thing that anyone would have to compliment anyone on. Like, why can't we just have a disagreement about a book and have it not turn into a like a thing? I had one woman just get like straight up mad at me and like not talk to me for the rest of the day. And honestly, honest to God, it was just about, like, I didn't think that the book matched what she thought the book was about. Yeah. And I had voiced that, and she had voiced that. And, like, where me, I was like, oh, well, anyway, let's move on, because it's just a book.
It's almost like you are two different people. I think it's easy. So I know I tend to be passionate about things. So mm-hmm. I think that could be a part of it. Like, people tend to be like, I really love this, or I really hate this. And wait, you think differently from me. So it's hard to like, for in the heat of the moment. But I mean, I do think it's important to just, guys, when someone says this book is garbage, they're really saying, in my opinion, this book is garbage. And I think that my opinion, that's implied, but people often forget that.
Right.
You know, we talked a little bit about this after Lexicon, when we went out for our traditional steak and cake at our local Texas Roadhouse. That it's, for example, I actually really like the Star Wars prequels. I like them a lot. Like, episode 2 is probably one of my favorite Star Wars movies of all time. I really like it. And a lot of people be like,
Eric,
no.
Get out of here right now.
Thank you. You know? Exactly. Or people be like, no, you're wrong. Or that's garbage. And people will – I've had people, when I tell them I like the prequels, get upset. You know? Like, they go, but the acting. I go, but to me, I don't care too much about that. As far as, you know, I mean, it doesn't bother me. I still very much enjoyed the movies. And for some reason, the fact that I enjoy those, just because like, they feel like similar interests, gets people so upset. And I don't understand it, you know? But yeah, I think that is important to remember that, guys, it's okay if people think things differently from you. Our patron philosopher, Alan Watts, one of his famous quotes, or one of my favorite quotes of his, it's real simple. He says, life is a Rorschach test, right? Everyone looks at it and you see something completely different, you know? So, my tale from the library.
Yeah.
Real simple. Well, actually, it's so funny. I've been holding on to this one for a while because it involves summer reading. But our summer reading program, one of the challenges was read a book or a story or watch a movie and come up with an alternate ending. Do you remember this one?
Oh, okay.
And two little girls approached me to tell me what their alternate ending was.
Yes.
If you guys have listened to, I don't remember what episode we discussed this, but do you remember the two little girls that I had to tell them the Disney princesses weren't real?
Yes, I do remember
that. And
that
Wonder Woman wasn't real.
I'll never forget.
Yeah, I unfortunately, listeners, I'm sorry, I don't remember what episode that was to go back and tell you. But they came up to tell me what their alternate ending was. And they came up with an alternate ending to The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
Writing, and they were very proud of this. I thought this was great. In the alternate ending, instead of King Triton turning his daughter into a human, he turns Prince Eric into a merman.
I love it.
And I never even thought of that. And I was like, I said, that's kind of a cool idea. And they were like, yeah. And she goes, but now she can be with Prince Eric and her dad.
I love it. Now you're
going to
cry.
And I know. And I was just like, that's perfect. Because really, you know what I mean? It's tough because she wanted to be part of that world, right? But I mean, I don't know. And they told me this story and I was like, that's amazing. So I just thought it was great that they came with this alternate ending.
Also, it's just much cooler to be a merman than a human.
I would think so. Prince Eric might think it's like a demotion though. Well, I guess he'd be Prince
Underwater.
And there's a lot more ocean than there is land. Sure,
it's actually a promotion for you,
Aaron. It's a pretty big promotion. So, Prince Eric, play your cards right. But anyway, they shared that story with me, and I thought that was a great alternate ending.
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad you hung on to that.
I've been holding on to it for literally several episodes. It's been in my back pocket for a while.
My other short one is that I went to the old college fair. On behalf of the library. The library did the outreach event. In our local area, they do a fair where lots of representatives from various higher learning institutions come, and they recruit our area students to come to their colleges. Yeah. And so basically they just have out their information. The kids walk around and they see, you know, oh, what programs do you have? Maybe I'll go to this school.
They often say, like, come to this school because it's really cool because of these reasons. Don't worry about the money. We'll sort that out later. But anyway. But it is a really cool opportunity to kind of shop around and see what colleges are out there.
Yeah. And so the library usually goes to promote. We have a lot of cool services like online tutoring. And we've got like a cool online writing lab, and we've got lots of really cool reference materials that they can use on essays and projects and stuff. So we were just there letting them know that we're still your library. Even if you go off to college, you still got your library card. You can still use all of our cool resources. And I talked to, I have the exact number of teenagers that I personally spoke to.
Whoa. And each teenager, guys, for the library, each teenager equals 100 regular people. It's typically how it works.
I spoke to 183 teenagers.
Did you really?
I did. And I have to say, they were cool kids.
Yeah?
They were cool kids. And I think that we all, I mean, the world is a scary place, and I think that it seems to get worse and worse.
Seems.
It seems. Yeah. But all these kids I talked to were really cool. And when I think about the future, and I think, yeah, but all those kids are going to do something cool, I think. And so I just want to say that it's hard to talk to 183 people, particularly teenagers. Love you, teenagers.
I know.
But it actually made me feel, like, really good, and I just want to tell everybody, there's some cool kids out there, they're going to do cool stuff in the future, so don't be so afraid.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to turn on the news and be like, oh my god.
Yeah. Right?
But I mean, there's a lot of good out there that you don't get to see on the news, right?
Exactly.
You know? And that's cool, you got to talk to so many teens. Nice. Promoting the library, good stuff.
Let's talk about
Buffa Frail Watch.
We recently had our county fair, right? I signed Freya up for the cute baby. Have I mentioned this on the cast already?
No, you haven't.
I signed her, against my better judgment, I signed her up for the cute baby contest. I didn't know if I was going to do it or not. Because I didn't know how I felt about, like, signing up and then having strangers judge my baby based on her perceived beauty. I thought that was really kind of weird.
Uh-huh.
But then I thought it'd just be fun.
Yeah? What was it? Was it fun?
I still haven't decided yet. The building itself was really hot, so that was tough. There were a lot of cute babies there, and there were a lot of babies there. But none of them were melting down, so that was acceptable. But anyway, Freya, she won a participation ribbon, which I suppose they give to all the babies. I thought it was a fun experience. We had a lot of family members that showed up, so that was really nice.
Oh,
so
they
cheered her on. I think they were looking for like a baby, at least a baby girl, because they judged the boys and the girls separately for whatever reasons, because they have different standards of beauty for their babies. And I think they wanted the baby girls to be wearing like a big, like, poofy dress kind of situation.
Oh, like a pageant.
Yeah, and that's not, we have a few dresses for Freya, but they're usually like kind of like dresses for comfort, not dresses for, you know, poofiness. And it's not really, I know we're still learning Freya's style, but it's not really her style. I kind of put her in a Wonder Woman onesie with like a cape, so I thought that would be kind of cool. it was a fun experience, but I will say that we did enter her in the Lexicon cosplay contest, you know, that happened yesterday. Our age group 0 to 10.
Yeah.
And she ended up winning, which was very cool. I felt kind of guilty because it was a program that I helped plan. And to be perfectly honest, like, we want a $50 gift card. We're just going to save it and use it for next year's lexicon. Like, we're not going to spend it ourselves.
You're not accepting it.
We didn't accept it. No, but we were very much honored that everyone appreciated.
And at least one of those opinions was completely unbiased because Cheryl did not know that that was your daughter. Yeah. She thought that she was legitimately cute.
That was very nice. Freya was dressed as Princess Peach from the Super Mario series.
That's nice. A matching costume because you were dressed as Mario and Amanda was dressed as Luigi.
Yeah, so we were doing the whole group thing. So
Mom's costume, by the way, didn't match your guys's, but it was amazing. She was just Wonder Woman.
It was Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, and Wonder Woman just hanging out. Yeah, her costume was great. I was trying to encourage her to sign up for the adult one.
Yeah.
She wasn't feeling it.
She would have been a shoo-in.
Yeah. Speaking of shoes, she was rocking those heels.
She sure was.
All day.
Those were accurate Wonder Woman shoes.
Yeah, they were. Oh, but yeah, this concludes
Frail Watch.
Ask me if I learned a life lesson this week.
Have you learned a life lesson this week?
I did.
Did you learn a life lesson this week?
I did!
That's great! Let's talk about it.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a few weeks ago. It was International Coastal Cleanup Day. And to celebrate this momentous occasion.
Are you getting choked up?
No.
Oh, okay. You sound like me when I was talking about The Little Mermaid just then. I was like, is this how deep of a story is
No,
this?
No, no.
The oceans, man.
Oh, man. Well, it's a day to clean up your coast. And so to celebrate, me and my beloved husband went down to the beach with a few other people that he works with. And we cleaned up Point Lookout. Out beach, and we picked up like 50 pounds of trash.
That's amazing.
And we use this app, and the app is called Clean Swell. And as you are cleaning up trash, you can be like, you report statistics about the trash that you pick up to, I think, the International Ocean Conservancy.
Is it just coastal trash?
Yes.
So, like, if I pick up garbage in my front yard, don't put it in the clean swell.
No, but if you go to the beach and you pick up trash, you can do it. Or if you went, for instance, scuba diving and decided you were going to pick up some trash while you were down
there.
Or
I was windsurfing, and I was like, as a windsurfer, just scooping up trash in a big basket.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be. Can you imagine? You know, I think Michael, our director, windsurfs.
Oh, yeah.
I may have made that up, but I'm pretty sure he does.
Get him a trash bag. He can clean up the ocean while he's at it. But this is to tie in with a few episodes we talked about Brett and his intentional acts of kindness.
Very cool.
And he's sort of become, he hates when I say this, but he's sort of become like an eco-warrior. And he's been very passionate about cleaning up trash. He's cleaned up our neighborhood, and he is currently cleaning up the street that he works on, and he just likes to go out there for a few hours and pick up trash.
That's amazing.
And try to help the environment. And so I was going to say, if you were inspired by our episode that we talked about, Intentional Acts of Kindness, I gave kind of an easy one, which would be to donate some money to a charity.
Yeah.
Another really easy one would be to just pick up some trash as you're walking around. You know, be careful. Don't pick up anything unhygienic, but, just pick up some trash. If you see a can or a bottle or a napkin or something like that, pick it up and, throw it in the trash. And that's nice for the earth. A few other intentional acts of kindness that Brett did, that I thought other simple ones that you can do. One of his coworkers lost a pet.
And that's so sad.
So Brett got him a pet sympathy card, which was really nice. And he had like
what kind of pet was it?
It was a pet ferret.
Oh.
R.I.P. pet ferret. I don't remember what the ferret's name was.
I bet it was adorable. Whatever it was.
Probably
That's
was.
That's really sad.
But Brett made sure he got a sympathy card and had some people sign it at work. Also, helping a turtle across the road. Yeah. Brett loves to help turtles.
That's a sign, by the way, that you're not a replicant. If you help that turtle, then you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. Yeah, so that's another one. By the way, if you are
replicants, we love you too.
You're on the same
team.
Yeah,
synthetic life is still life, brother.
If you are helping a turtle across the road, Brett would like you to remember to carry the turtle in the direction the turtle was originally traveling, because if you just carried it back across the street, it's just going to try to go back again. So always carry it in the direction it's traveling if you can. So those are some other simple...
That's so cool.
...intentional acts of kindness. And there's a really cool website that one of our listeners sent to us. The website is compassiongames.org.
Okay.
And if you go there, basically... Compassion Games is like a challenge.
Is it like the Hunger Games?
Yeah, except like the total opposite. It's like a challenge to people to be nice to each other. And it's actually a program that's been instituted in various places. Like one of their success stories is there was a women's prison. And they started playing compassion games, which was basically they turned, like, the gang leaders in the prison into, like, compassionistas. And they were, like, leaders of their teams. And they got points and they got rewards for doing nice things, like helping clean up, sharing their food with their fellow prisoners, helping put on sunblock when they're gonna go outside, just doing nice things. And they found this like entire culture shift through the prison when they started playing this game, and they were awarded points for doing nice things. And it's also been instituted at some schools that were experiencing lots of violence. And it's really interesting website to check out. And they've got also lots and lots of suggestions of ways that you can
That's
be more
so amazing.
Ways that you could be more compassionate in your life.
Well, yeah. It's amazing too that I think sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the, okay, I'm gonna do something compassionate. What can I do?
I think
even little things.
Yeah.
Like that card that Brett got for his coworker that lost a ferret, you know? I mean, that's, I think those little things add up, you know?
And I think if you're looking, the more you look for good things to do, the more things will find you. You will find, if you're looking through that positive filter, you'll see positive things. I think that we have that tendency to look through everything through a negative filter.
Yeah.
Like, this sucks. But what if you try to switch it up and look at things through a positive filter, how many things that are really okay in the world you'll see?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Or also, we've also talked about a common theme on the show is if there's something you don't like, even if it's like a form of entertainment, someone likes it, right? Someone likes it. And even though if you don't like it, who's to say that your enjoyment is worth any more than someone else's enjoyment, right? A lot of I go back to this all the time. He's kind of become a spokesmodel for the cast, but Jar Jar Binks. A lot of people don't like Jar Jar Binks, but I've talked to a lot of kids that think he's funny. And I'll tell you right now, I think people think I'm doing a bit. I like Jar Jar Binks. I do. When I watch that movie, when I watch episode one with my dad, I thought he was like goofy, you know, like, uh-oh, what problem is he going to get into? And then I came out and no one liked Jar Jar. And then I found out people didn't like Ewoks either, which I didn't understand. But you're talking about acting, acts of compassion is, I actually got up when you were talking to grab one of my favorite books, although I probably like the idea of the book more than the book itself, made into a movie, Pay It Forward.
Yeah,
have you ever read the book?
I haven't read the book.
I've actually never watched a movie, but I've read the book.
Oh, wow.
And I grabbed the book mostly so I can remember the author's name. It's Catherine Ryan Hyde. Pay It Forward, if you're not familiar. It's the idea of, you pay one act of kindness forward. And I think in the book, you pay it forward to, like, at least four other people or five. And then
they pay it forward.
They pay it forward. And then what's great is, and I've always wished they did. So when we were at Lexicon, someone asked a question, what, like, remake would you like to see?
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know if this is a remake, but, like, so I believe in the Pay It Forward movie they did this, but I'm not too sure. But I know they do it in the book, where the beginning of the book is in the future, where the world has been made better because of Pay It Forward. Where enough people have paid it forward that it's spread out. And then it covered the whole world, and now there's just residual Pay It Forwards. Where, like, a guy's car, he runs out of gas, and someone just gives him his car keys, you know? And it's like everyone's living in a paradise, because everyone's needs are met by everyone, you know? And I always wish that they could do, and I don't know, maybe as far as a storytelling perspective, it wouldn't be that interesting. Like, what's a paradise like? But I always thought that'd be amazing. Like, I want to spend more time in that world, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you spend a little bit of time in that Pay It Forward world, like the future world, and then, like, most of the book is this young kid, like, starting it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or I guess you don't know if it actually starts or if it's a failed idea of this kid. But I don't know. I guess in a weird way, that's kind of what we're trying to do with this cast.
It is.
Right? You know? And we'll be the first ones. We were actually talking yesterday during our steak and cake at Texas Roadhouse that we're not – who's to say whatever we – what we say, we're more of a lead by example type of people.
Definitely,
right?
Yeah.
You guys feel free. We have a whole segment called Life Lessons. These are life lessons that we've learned. Take or leave them as you want. You know, there's no, we're not saying these are things that we believe in. And just real quick, our last life lesson, our guest wasn't completely agreed with us, and that's totally okay. You know, whatever we say, take or leave whatever we say, but we're hoping that whatever you do take with you, that it helps you and it's a beneficial, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully, here's the deal. I know we joke that we want to create, like, that second air of good feelings. Like, I literally texted you, like, a few days ago, Nobel Peace Prize. And we're not doing it for the glory, but I mean, sometimes you turn the news on and you think to yourself, like, what is going on and what could I possibly do to make any of this better? And we realize the thing we can do is make a podcast, right? You know
yeah.
what I mean?
And but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And we're not perfect people. Like, we're figuring out, and there's multiple times I have a life lesson that says, you know, don't think this bad about yourself or whatever. And then sure enough, 2 days later, I go ahead and do the very same thing. We're not perfect people, but we're just trying to share, like, what we've learned and what we're aspiring to hopefully help the world be a little bit better, you know? Yeah. So, man.
Let's wrap this whole thing up with a positivity party.
Let's do it! Wop, 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 wop. You're never going to join me in that? Wop, 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 burp, 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 burp,
burp, burp, burp, burp, burp, burp. Hey, Eric.
Hey.
I'm enjoying this positivity party with you.
Are you? Okay.
I am.
Are you allowed to enjoy the positivity party as a part of the positivity party?
Yeah,
I never knew that was it. I'm going to tell you right now, I am loving... What am I loving?
Are you feeling grateful for anything in particular?
I'll tell you right now, we talked about Lexicon already. It felt great to have a team of people come together and work and pull the program off, because it's something
great
that not one person could do. It took several people work over a great amount of time and the day of, and it's really cool seeing a project like that come together, which is very exciting.
And I just want to give a big shout out to our producer for producing our podcast. Mm-hmm. You're great. I know you're listening to this right now because you're adding, like, you're rocking out to the positivity party.
Hey, if we're doing loved ones, I should do a shout out for Miss Amanda, my wife, because she was at Lexicon helping the day of. She could be doing anything with her time. She was helping the day of, handing out bracelets and handing out flyers while she had Freya attached to her chest. So while she was taking care of a baby, she was also helping me with Lexicon. So I very much appreciate it. Amanda, I love you so much.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
Hey, if you're listening to this right now, say something nice about yourself right now.
That's very good.
Yeah, yeah. You're so smart. You make such good observations.
Yeah, that sounds good. Guys, you've been listening to Same Team Y'all. Where can people find us?
You can find us at www.sameteamyall.com. Also on Twitter, @SameTeamYall. You can also email us, SameTeamYall@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah. Have we inspired you in any way? Do you disagree with us completely about everything that we've said today?
That's okay.
That is okay. We would love to hear from you. Also, if you enjoyed this, please tell a friend about this cast. And also, please rate and review us. We prefer 5 stars, but as always, rate with your heart.
We love you guys. Bye.
Yeah, we love you all. Thank you. Bye. This coffee.
Hot.
Don't include that breath.